Well, I am glad to be here again. Appreciate Brother Philip. Is this first time I've been here since you've been pastoring? So I'm a customary. I'm supposed to brag on you then. So, and seriously, y'all made a wise choice. Brother Philip's a great man and been a great, great friend of ours for a long time. And we appreciate him, his wife, and this church. You can be turning with me. I got three pages of notes, and most of them wrote on both sides. Before I get into this, though, I need to know. How many of you decided today to just pretty much to martyr yourself and give up your Sunday afternoon nap to come down here? Here, one, two, okay. Stars in your crown. You young boys don't need stuff like that. Appreciate you being here. I'm going to be reading in Judges chapter 19, verse 23. You can be turning there. And different people around asked me today about how we're feeling. They've pretty much quit asking about me. I'm thinking about getting sick again. They quit asking about me and asking about her. But can report the last nearly 2 years probably done really good. And also, if prior to that, if I had any dealings with you, there's a great possibility that I don't remember it. Because I've got blank spots. I mean, just spots where there's nothing there. And from being sick, from the medicine or a combination of the two, a fella came to see me. He come from another state, come into my house. My father-in-law brought him, come in. They talked to me, had prayer. And before he left, he shook hands with me and put six $100 bills in my hand. And went on. Some months later, I had a time when I was doing pretty good. I went to a camp meeting, and I was sitting there in a little bit. I turned around and saw him. I said, I need to speak to him. So I went back and spoke to him. And in a little bit, I said, when you going to come up in our country? And he just looking. I tell he was thinking something, you know. He said, I was just up there. I said, you come into southern Missouri? He said, yeah. I said, you come to southern Missouri and didn't come to my place? He said, I was at your house. Now, you think you'd remember a fella give you $600? Try me. I didn't remember him being there. People come see me in the hospital, I didn't remember him being there. Folks come to my house, I didn't remember it. So, if I've had any dealings with you during that time, there's a great possibility I don't remember it. And then back in February, I got in the hospital again. And it wasn't gut-related this time. I have migraines from time to time. And I do not remember this. I woke up. It's like Sunday afternoon, the snow boy that goes to Panama, which was Nathan. Preach for me. 2 weeks later, I woke up in intensive care. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, where am I at? What am I doing here? And when they got done with me, did they run me up in that culvert? We call that test where they put you up under in a culvert. MRI, done one of them. I don't remember that. But when they got done, they diagnosed me with something called transient global amnesia. Don't that make me sound important? Transient global amnesia brought on by migraine. And they said, my son, I have a paramedic in my church, he come over and said I was having a stroke. And they couldn't get me up, so they called the ambulance come got me, took me to the hospital, and I know all them guys after having a business there in town for 12 years. And they said this guy would ask me, what day is it? I don't know. What year is it? I don't know. Where are you at? I don't know. Where do you live? I don't know. Who's president? I can't tell you what I said. And then he started the thing again. Where are you? What day is it? Who, you know? And he come around, who's president? I didn't know. Now, just, 30 seconds ago, I did know, kind of. But I didn't know. And so They finally turned me loose. Anyway, my whole point is, if I've had any dealings with you, if I've offended you, I'm sorry. And if you don't believe that, give me $600 and see if I don't remember it. Let's go to Judges chapter 19, verse 23. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. I'm not sure what to title this. I really don't know. I hate to title this the death of America. I'm an American. I'm a proud American. I go to other countries and do mission work. I am an American. I was born here. Uh, 1986, Bowers versus Hardwick. The Supreme Court upheld all sodomy laws. All 50 states had laws against sodomy. Bowers versus Hardwick, the Supreme Court upheld all of those in 1986. In 2003, Lawrence versus Texas, it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court struck down all of America's sodomy laws, no longer against the law. 2015, the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in this country. In 1779, Thomas Jefferson made a law in Virginia that all sodomites were to become eunuchs. In this state, in Virginia. Prior to 1962, sodomy was a felony in every state, punishable by a lengthy prison term and or hard labor in this country. When the Supreme Court legalized so-called gay marriage, Justice Kennedy, that wrote the deciding opinion, repeatedly used the word dignity. That these people should be able to live with dignity, that they should be able to marry with dignity, and they should be treated with dignity, and so on and so forth. So again, I may think of a title before I get done, but the death of America. Somebody has said that if America had a tombstone, the day it was born on the tombstone would be July the 4th, 1776, date of death, June the 26th, 2015. God is not going to let this go. There's no way. God cannot let this go. There are four steps in this, or four stages for any society that embraces this. And of course, the first step, the lowest rung on this, is abomination. That's what the Bible called it. It is an abomination. And to all normal-minded people, it is disgusting. I abhor it. I mean, I can't stand to see it. I was in a Walmart here some time back, West Plains, Missouri, and there was two lesbians just hugging one another. One of them standing around behind the other and hugging her, kissing her on the neck, and a little bit she saw me. And it churns my guts. And she saw me and just really, really went after. I mean, just went to putting on a show, you know, and looking at me somewhat defiantly. And people would walk by and see these two and shake their heads. Women would take their children and kind of turn their face away and try to get away. It is an abomination. But the next step after that is allowance. It goes from abomination to allowance. And there are people that'll say, okay, we're going to have to allow it. It's still an abomination. We still don't like it, but we're going to have to allow that. And so it's an abomination, then it's an allowance, and then it comes to acceptance. It's not quite as bad in the mind of Americans now as what it was when I was a boy. If a boy, I didn't know what a homosexual was. But we had boys in out on the playground that acted kind of sissy. We beat them up on a regular basis just for the fun of it. That's against the law now. But it goes from an abomination to allowance, to acceptance, and then finally to approval. We've got folks right now that are my age that used to beat them boys up on the schoolyard that now are nodding their head and applauding them and marching in their parades and such as that, because we've come to the place of approval in this country. And I hate to even bring this up, but you might as well get ready right here or wherever you attend or wherever you pastor, because they are coming soon to a church near you. They're going to bring their kids, their grandkids. They're going to show up. Your nephew or somebody's going to come home from college and bring his little fella with him, and they're going to come to church, and they're going to sit on the pew, and because of the way they are, the nature that they got, they're going to sit back there and hold hands, and they're going to mingle amongst the young people, and they're going to try their best to come to our get-togethers and our fellowships and such as that. And we must make up our minds now as the people of God and as men of God, as pastors of churches, what we're going to do, how we're going to stand, where we're going to draw the line. I told Brother Randy Webb's church this morning, my brother, younger than me, was married for 20-something years. Him and his wife busted up. She wrote him a letter and told him, I am a lesbian. I've always been a lesbian all of my life. My niece, their girl that's probably 31, 32 years old, somewhere along in there, 35 years old, okay, she is a out-of-the-closet, in-your-face lesbian. She has a purple mohawk. She's got studs all in her face, tattoos all over her, and she's not one of those that can just be quiet and go on about her business. She's one of those, when you see her coming, you're not sure what it is. She's always got her fist doubled up and always got a scowl on her face. She walks like a man. She talks like a man. I'd say she smokes cigars and dips snuff. I mean, she is tough. She's in your face. She's fixing to go to the courthouse and get married. Well, a lot of guys around there, they don't say a lot to her about her. She also has a black belt. She is tough. I mean, you just want to be real careful what you say. You got a fuse about that long. And she'd soon fight you as not. But she was raised in a holiness church. Charles Barnett was her pastor. Ross Waller, for a time, was her pastor. Wendell Pittman was her mother's pastor. And so they understand. They know what the Bible says. They know what's right and wrong. But we've reached that point now where we are there. I had a woman pray at my church Thursday night that I'm not real sure about her. I went around to this house. I invited some folks to church. When I came out, there was a yard sale. I went over and just introduced myself, kind of, you know, looked around at the yard sale, handed her a card, and invited her to come to church. There was a woman standing there talking to her, and she brought up a family name. And she said, oh, that family's worthless. They're all trash, and they're all, and she's really running them down. In a little bit, I said, you're talking about my kin people. She said, I don't care. They're all trash. She said, I know. I dated one of them, and it was her. She was there talking to that woman. This woman come to church Thursday night, prayed in the altar a while. I mean, cried and prayed, and we're going to see. All right, here's the outline. I want to talk to you first off about the creation of sodomites. Where do they come from? They are telling us now that they're born that way. That's a total impossibility. Homosexuals cannot reproduce. They have to recruit or they have to adopt. They are not born that way. A lot of them are like they are because at some point in their childhood, they were molested by an older person. I did a revival years and years ago in maximum security prison in Atmore, Alabama. I walked up and down death row. I talked to men there. I went in what they call lockup security, and there was a man in one of those cells there, 5x9 cell, sitting there on a bed. He had some kind of rag on his head hanging down. He's trying to look like a woman. He had his eyelashes curled, and he had all kinds of satanic things around on the wall there. I got to talking to him and found out he was a Satanist, and not just a Satanist, he had sued the state of Alabama because the warden would not let him use the Christian chapel to have his satanic rituals in. It made news all over the country. The man's name is Charles McCorkle. He was the same age as me, about 28 or 29, had something like 500 years to serve, and I got to talking to him and about getting saved. He said, I can't be saved. I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Would you like to hear me do it? I told him I didn't want to hear him blaspheme the Holy Ghost. We talked on a while, and I said, how long have you been this way? He said, you mean homosexual? I said, yeah, how long have you been like that? He said, oh, probably since I was about 12. I said, was you born that way? He got a kick out of that. He just threw his head back and laughed and said, my uncle made me this way. And so when you talk about the creation of sodomites, they are not born that way. But our news media
Hollywood and the movie world are trying their best to bring them out younger and younger and younger. And so now they tell me there's a website out there called Growing Up Gay. And they've got boys that are 5 years old, 6 years old, that are supposedly coming out of the closet now and saying, I'm really a girl. I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. They got girls coming out saying, I'm really a boy, and back and forth. And they've got them as young as 5 years old that are doing that. I listened to an interview of a couple of parents. They had this boy, and I mean, showed a picture. It looked like a little girl, about 8 years old. Long hair down the waist, and just dressed like a girl. And they was interviewing the mother and asking her, what do you think about this? And she said, well, at first, you know, it was kind of a surprise, a shock, but she said, we're so proud of, they named him Joe or Fred or something, but he got up bigger and wanted to have a girl's name, so they were calling this boy by the girl's name and telling how proud they were. And they said, well, what about people that have things to say or make fun or whatever? She said, I don't care what anybody else says. This is our little girl, and we're going to honor what she wants, and we are proud of her. She's going to be raised in our home. We're going to pay her way through college and all such as that. And so they're bringing them out younger and younger and younger, because they've got to try and prove that they're born that way. They're not born that way. That cannot be. They are created, a lot of times, as I've already said, by child molestation. They are created by cross-dressers. Cross-dressing. It is a, years ago, even Ann Landers and them said that it was confusion and that you should see a psychiatrist. And one of the things that they mentioned that caused young men to be homosexuals was dominant mothers and weak fathers. They went on to say that cross-dressing. Now, I've always wondered why it is that a woman can put on a pair of blue jeans and she's not a cross-dresser, but if a man puts on a dress, he is a cross-dresser. What, pray tell, is the difference? Cross-dressing is cross-dressing. The difference is we have gotten used to that. We have accepted that. We might not believe in it. We may preach against it, but there it is. I've got people in my church, women in pants, pretty much every Sunday. They're sinners. They're there because I'm preaching the gospel to them. I'm hoping they're going to change. I do not approve that. But if a man came in a dress, most of us would have something to say to him. We'd rather you'd put on a pair of pants when you come to church. Well, we've gotten used to it. We, in just a little bit of a sense, are starting to accept things that we do not need to accept. Cross-dressing. We have it so much now. I mean, they've got clothes now that you can't tell if it's male or female. I mean, I've had women ask me, would you wear these? Well, no. She said, well, they must be women's apparel. Well, no, they're not. They're somewhere in between there. They don't belong on you or me. They belong in the dump. They belong in a burn barrel somewhere. They are cross-dressing, amen. They are created by dominant women and weak men. I made a list. Don't ask me to see it. Don't ask me to tell you about it. And I got to thinking about that one time, and I got to thinking about all of the dominant women that I know in our movement, and I got to thinking about how many of them have boys that are sissies or boys that are out of the closet homosexuals. And in just a little bit, I had a list with 21 women that are dominant, that have children that are sodomites. They were created that way because mom controlled the checkbook, mom controlled the money, mom wore the britches, mom gave the orders, and dad was kind of a yes man. You know, yes dear, yes ma'am. And there are some women out there that, even though they're not in your face type, they've got their way of undermining and say, well, wouldn't it be better to do this way? Wouldn't it be better? I remember Bill Burkett telling about a preacher one time. He said, had a real dominant wife. He said, I didn't like her. And so me and this preacher got together, and he said, I'm going to be back in town, and I'll meet you at Walmart in the parking lot. She spoke up and said, well, wouldn't it be better to meet over there? Bill Burkett said, no, it wouldn't. The husband was already like, well, you know, he said, it would not. I'll meet you where I told you I'd meet you. And just kind of, she went off in a huff. She was so used to controlling. Well, that causes a confusion in the mind of children. In a little bit, you got boys that have lost their own identity, girls that have lost their identity because of a reversal of roles. Amen. And so creation of them, they're not born that way. There is a spirit of that. There are spirits of sodomy that get a hold of people. people, and it looks like all the more often they get a hold of them at a younger and younger age. They are not born that way. The creation of them. Nakedness. This day that we're living in, the world thinks we are nuts the way that we preach that people should dress. We have, let me find it here. Nakedness. We have naked mud wrestling. We have naked swimming. We now have naked news, where the people on the, I guess on the computer, wear nothing to tell you the news and the weather. We have naked churches, where everybody that goes in take their clothes off at the door and they go to church. And I might add, this will shock you, some of them are Pentecostal. They speak in tongues. They pray for the sick and such as that. We have naked churches. We have once a year somewhere a thing that they try to every year get into the Guinness Book of World Records for having the largest naked bike ride. We have now a naked dating where you meet up with somebody you've never seen before in your life. Neither one of them has on any kind of clothes, and they introduce to them and they take off on a date. Naked television. I mean, it just, there's on and on and on. I can remember when it was such a big deal when I got in junior high that we had to go in and shower. And I was in there, 30 or 40 other boys showering. And I mean, there were several of us talked about it. We're going to have to do that. They're going to make us take a shower. And after a few days of doing that, wasn't no big deal. Everybody does it. Boys all did it. Girls all did it. Well, in the beginning of this year, back in January, or last year actually, the governor of California signed a bill into law that all of the public schools in California now are gender free as far as their bathrooms and their showers. And so Joe comes to school today and he says, "I am a girl today." He can take girls' PE and shower with the girls, and they do. My daughter's out there, stationed out there in the military. She was laughing, said, "Dad, we got more and more boys in California that are coming into school saying, 'I'm a girl today.' We ain't had a girl yet come to school say she's a boy." And the boys in public school are showering with girls. High school and junior high. This isn't helping matters any. I'm still on point one, the creation of sodomites. They are made that way. And this is part of the reason why we teach that you ought to dress in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. We teach that men ought to wear men's clothes and women ought to wear women's clothes. No such thing as cross-dressing. That you ought to look, boys, look like a man. Act like a man. There's a guy in our country that he's a preacher. He was in our country, raised there, a preacher and a piano player, and he always had some kind of a poodle-cut looking hairdo and a pants that were kind of pastel color, and he just had a way of walking and going around, and I never could hardly stand to be around him. Well, he's a preacher now, and he's a missionary. Well, he got this guy, he had a foreign exchange student come to his house from Germany, and this guy would just like him. And so they got to wearing matching sweaters. They come to church and sit together, and somebody said something to about it, and he said, "Oh, it just happened to happen," and said, "Me and Ramon, I said, we have tickle fights." You do what? We have tickle fights. I ain't sure I won't hear this. They get each other down, tickle each other till one of them gives up. I can see you. MMA, move over. Tickle fights. Well, this guy got called the mission field. Guess where he's going on mission trips? Germany. He's got his website of him sitting in a chair and this guy sitting in his lap. He's got his arm around the guy's waist and the guy's turned around kind of like this and got his hands on his face. They're looking dreamily into one another's eyes. And somebody wrote creepy on his website or Facebook. I don't do any of that. I don't know how. They ain't going to learn how. But anyway, he said, "Well, you just have to know Ramon. And this guy has a dominant mother. This guy wears little poodle cut looking hairdos. And he's got one of the largest homeschool curriculums going right now. And people are buying it. He's had to hire several men that could do nothing but come and pack that stuff and put it in the box and ship it off. He was not born that way. He talks about, well, I've always, you know, been like, he told one time he gave piano lessons and a bunch of holiness girls, young girls, came over there and took piano lessons. They was waiting around for their parents to come get them. He disappeared in the other room and come back out in a dress. Some of them said something to him about it. He said, well, everybody else is sitting out here talking and visiting wearing a dress. I thought I would. He wore a dress to the bank where he works. I'm talking about tends a holiness church and plays the piano. He went to work in a dress and fishnet nylons and high heels, and the bank president fired him. And he explained, though, I'm not like this. It's Halloween, and I just came because it's Halloween. And he came in a dress. And so anyway, he's kind of gone now. But he's got all of his ways, you know, that this is why I'm like this and that. And there's nothing wrong with it. The creation of sodomites, nakedness, God is so concerned about that, that when Adam and Eve are the only two people on this planet wearing aprons, he put coats on them. When God robed the priesthood, he had them clothed to their wrist, to their ankle, and even told them about their undergarments, and the undergarments had to come from the loins to the knees, lest they show their nakedness. God calls uncovering the thigh nakedness. Whenever they went into captivity, in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said that they would go barefoot and naked, and he talked about the uncovering of the thigh. And here we are now in holiness churches with women with splits plumb up to Hikamo High. Amen. And that is what the Bible calls nakedness. And you shouldn't do that. And your husbands, you ought to look your wife over before she leaves the house. You ought to make sure before that girl heads out, especially if she's going some guy, make sure, look how she's dressed. She ought to be dressed modestly. She ought to look like a holiness girl when she leaves the house. The creation of sodomites. We have the corruption of sodomites. There's nothing clean about it. There's nothing right about it. Justice Kennedy talked about the dignity of it. You cannot dignify sodomy. It is corrupt. Amen. They were not born that way. They were made that way. I told you about Charles McCorkle. The Bible calls them in Deuteronomy 23 and 18, calls them dogs. That's God's word for it. James Dobson said sometime years ago in his radio program that we should not call them names. He said you should not use the word queer. Well, I looked up the word queer in Webster's dictionary, and it means odd or strange. Now, I've preached on college campuses a lot. I was on one back in November, and they got guys there that when they hear preaching like this will stand right in front of you and embrace one another and kiss one another. I think because that is odd. To me, that is strange. Well, James Dobson says don't call them queer, call them gay. Gay? Bible puts a curse on those who call good evil and evil good. They're a whole lot more queer than they are gay. They are not gay. I've never seen a happy queer ever, and believe me, I know some. I've dealt with some. The corruption of sodomites, and there is the cruelty of sodomites. Notice when they show up in Judges chapter 19 and also in Genesis chapter 19, they're going to force their way into the house. They talk about the sweetness of being gay, and gay people are so good, and gay people are so gentle. Even Paul Harvey in his last days referred to them as gentle men. They're not gentle. They are cruel. They are wickedly cruel. They have no respect for others. They're going to force their way into Lot's house. They're going to force their way in to the man's house in Judges chapter 19. They go after children. They are cruel. They have all kinds of ways, that the mind-boggling ways, where they torture one another. They buy their toys and their devices, and they are all instruments of cruelty. They're not satisfied to go after an adult. They will go after children. They will try to adopt children. I know some right now that are in the process right now of adopting children. I'll give you two guesses. It's two men, and you can guess. Yeah, they'd like to have a little boy. There are women out there that adopt young girls because they, in their heart and their mind, they are cruel. There's a Mennonite pastor, I think, from Pennsylvania that's in prison right now. He got a lesbian saved. When this woman was a lesbian, her and her lesbian partner had got married and had adopted. I think she may have had biologically born the child, but they may have adopted. Anyway, she got saved. So her and her lesbian lover got a divorce. And when it went to court, the judge gave them joint custody. And so you get her so much time, you get her so much time. Well, the little girl came home after just a time or two, she's about 8 years old now, and complaining that my other mother makes me take a bath with her. And so this woman took it back to the judge, got her a lawyer, went before the judge. Judge said, ain't none of your business. If she wants to take a bath with the little girl, that's nothing to you. So she took the girl and ran. The Mennonite pastor that had got her saved helped her to hide. They found out about it. They brought the Mennonite pastor in before a judge, and he said, you have to tell where they're hiding. He wouldn't do it. They put him in jail. All he said was, they're not in this country anymore, and they won't be back until the girl is of age. And the Mennonite pastor has been in jail for a long time now because he is in the contempt of court. I don't remember what all they charge him with, but he would not tell where the mother and the little girl were at. I'm talking about the cruelty of sodomy. They talk about they love their children. They do not have the ability to love, because in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says they are without natural affection. There is no such thing as a homosexual loving their children. They do not love one another. They don't love their parents. They don't love you. They don't love God. They are some of the cruel-heartedest people that ever lived on this planet. Ever. Cruel. They talk about tolerance and intolerance. You know how it works. Baker in Colorado and two lesbians come in. We want a wedding cake. He refused to do it. They took him to court. His fine, if I'm not getting two or three cases mixed up, was $135,000. They sued him into oblivion in the name of tolerance. Would you believe that fellow went out sometime after that and found two lesbians that own a bakery? He went in and said, I want a cake. And I want this cake shaped like a Bible. And I want this verse from Romans chapter 1 on this page. And I want this verse on this page. They refused to do it in the name of tolerance and love. They refused to do it. He took them to court and lost. The judge told him he was just picking fights. He was just seeking out revenge, and he lost that case, and the lesbians did not have to make the cake. I'm still talking about the cruelty of sodomy. Hey, man, they go after children they adopt. Out in California some time back, they surrounded a church house while people were trying to go in. One of those hateful, like us, one of those churches, you know, that are anti-gay and intolerant. They surrounded that church. One family got inside. Somebody got on a cell phone and called the police. A while later, some of the cops showed up, and one of the members went out and wanted something done. And he said, they have their rights. They can protest. But their protesting is they're breaking our windows. They're throwing rocks up on our roof. They're smashing our siding in protest. You can't stop that. We can't do anything about that. They have their right to First Amendment, freedom of speech, and so on and so forth. I'm talking about cruelty of sodomites. After that, let me get tangled up in my notes here. We have compromise with sodomites. Listen to this man in Judges 19 as he goes out and says, my brethren, compromise with them. We cannot. We talk about churches out there, worldly churches, compromising because they let down holiness standards. Here's something coming down the road that's coming real fast and real hard, and you talk about a compromise. You've got to make up your mind, churches and pastors. What are you going to do about marrying people? They're going to show up at our churches and they're going to want to get married and use our sanctuaries. We've got to get it settled now. I've had churches tell me, well, we're against that, and our bylaws won't hold up in court, because when you go to court, the anti-discrimination laws are going to put you in trouble. That's what they're going to call it, anti-discrimination law. Well, when it comes to compromise, I'm not calling them brethren. I'm not going to make their wedding cake. They're not using the... I turned down a couple here a while back. She'd been married 4 or 5 times. His wife was dead. They started coming to our church. And I didn't figure he'd come very long. He was about 80. He was a doctor, had a business there in town. He comes sit back there with his glasses down here and just look. Folks get to shouting, running aisles. He ain't gonna put up with this. He won't last long. After about a month of that, he stood up one night during testimony service. He's from somewhere in eastern Kentucky. He said, I was raised in a church like this. He said, my dad couldn't read, and when I was 12 years old, I read the Bible through to him 3 times in 1 year because my dad couldn't read. He said, I'm a medical doctor, and my dad wouldn't go to the doctor at all for anything at all. He said, trust God or die. He said, I'd rather die in the faith than to live in unbelief. And he said, my dad shouted, my people shouted, and I thought, he knows all about this. And when he wanted to get married, I said, I can't marry you. He said, well, can somebody else marry? Well, just use the church. You can't do that either. And so now, you know, we took a strong stand on that. We got something coming through the doors more and more. You are going to face it. I'm not saying you might or there's a possibility. You're going to. Because they found out they can sue more than bakeries. They can sue wedding chapels, and next it's going to be churches. Compromise the Sodomites. Romans chapter 1 verse 32 says they are worthy of death, and not only they that do such thing, but them that have pleasure in them. Now, I don't have Facebook. I don't know how. I'm not going to learn how. But I've got some that I'm sure do. And I told them recently, you are friends with her? You're friends on Facebook with her? And she is a known lesbian? You're friends? You're having pleasure in her? You're as guilty as she is. You ought to delete her, whatever it is y'all do. You cannot be friends with her. They don't need to be leaving comments on your website. You don't need to be saying anything to theirs. As a matter of fact, there are some that even have wrote on their sites and said, I don't agree with what you're doing, but congratulations. We don't think you ought to do that, but congratulations. May the Lord bless you. We hope you are going to be happy. We hope things are going to work out for you. We cannot have pleasure with them or in them, because that is an abomination. Deuteronomy 7 and 26 tells us that we are to abhor an abomination. There can be no kind of compromise with that kind of spirit, that kind of activity, or anything else that is connected to it whatsoever. None at all. We have the condemnation of Sodomites. Notice what this man says. First, he calls them brethren. In verse 23, he says, do not so wickedly. Folly. He calls it wickedness. He calls it folly. In Leviticus 18, 22 through 30, the Bible calls it an abomination. In their language, if you had asked me, do you like something? And I said, no, I don't like that. That means this, my strength of not liking that's about like this. But if they ask me again, okay, you don't like that? And I might say, I really don't like it. I hate that. It went up a little bit. And I don't know what the strongest word in the English language would be, but if I said, I loathe and detest that, you're going to decide, okay, the language is strong. We got it figured out. Well, in their language, to abominate something is the highest form of hatred. And so God said it is an abomination. There's very few things, if any, on this planet that God abhors, detests, and hates worse than sodomy. And we're not to have any kind of compromise, any kind of connection with that whatsoever. It is to be condemned. The Bible calls them dogs, as I've already said, Revelation 22 and 15. Without our dogs, we have got to be true to God. We have got to be true to the Word of God. Now, God says in this condemnation of Sodomites, Jeremiah 46 and 11, in vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. Do you remember what AIDS was called before it was called AIDS? back about 1982 or thereabout, they didn't call it acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It was called GRID, or GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome, GRIDS. But they came out, and the doctors, a woman doctor on the West Coast that named it that, and they came down on her and said, that's politically incorrect. You cannot call it gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. You're going to call it acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It went from GRIDS to AIDS. God says, in vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. I know they found a cure for tuberculosis. I'm kind of glad of that. I test positive for it. My grandpa had it, was in a sanatorium for years. He has one lung, had one lung when he died. I'm glad they have a cure for that. I really don't expect them to find a cure for AIDS. Tuberculosis was not something brought on by sin. AIDS is. AIDS is. Hosea 5 and 13 says, they went to the Assyrian, and he could not heal you nor cure you. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 27, the botch which cannot be cured. All kinds of diseases that are related to this kind of lifestyle, and God says it cannot be cured. As far as I know, there's never been anybody that has stood up and said, I had AIDS and now I don't have it. I heard of some that claimed that they did and then they died of AIDS. And so they didn't get over that. But there is a condemnation of sodomites. It cannot be compromised. There's nothing that we can do to be friends with them or to allow them when they come to church. They need to be preached to like any other sinner. They need to be given an opportunity. They can be saved. And that's the last point. You have the cleansing. The cleansing. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. What? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither, what is it, idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. You're justified. You're sanctified. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 47 through 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. This was part of what I preached this morning at Brother Randy's, but the first thing about them was pride. What do they call their prides? Gay pride. The next thing was fullness of bread. I call that gluttonous provision. The next thing was abundance of idleness, godless pastime. The next thing was abomination, gross passion. I've had them tell me, I can't quit this. Paul said, such were some of you, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. I'm not quoting that just right. There is a cure for it. I'm going to have to say, I personally have never seen one. But I know I've heard other testimonies. Ronald Hobby preached for us Thursday night, and in his sermon told about preaching at a place, he said he saw a woman sitting back there kind of toward the middle by the aisle, real short hair. And said when the service got to going, she's first one on her feet. She's worshiping. She's shouting. When they opened it up for testimony, she jumped to her feet and said, I want to thank God again for saving me and delivering me from being a lesbian for something like 30 years. She said, I am delivered. Yeah, I'm not that way anymore. Such were some of you. There is a cleansing that we've got. We can't just go around bashing them, preaching against them. We have got to let them know there is a cure for this, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. All sin. You can be saved. This didn't preach like I thought it would. I'm not sure how you think this stuff's supposed to preach. But again, get ready. It'll come to your church. We've got to make up our mind what we're going to do. God bless you, Brother.